I'm gonna work my message today around the story of our mission trip. And whenever we got there to Guatemala, everything was going fairly smoothly. When we got there, some things were kind of off the rails a little bit, but it's okay. We worked it out. And then we got to the job site. And I'm going to speak mostly from the job site side, because that's what I did, was the construction. And we got to the job site, and we get out there, and we start getting ready to build. And what we had been told was that the church, we had given money, you had given money to this church in Guatemala to be able to go ahead and put down all the foundation, to put down all the footers, all the way around the building. And so that's what we had been told had happened. When we got there, they had only built the footers on two sides of the building, and they had built walls up on two sides, but they had left two sides open. No footers, no walls, no columns. And so when we get there, we discovered that, hey, you're going to have to dig out the footers, dig out the holes for the columns, mix the concrete, pour the concrete, lay the blocks. And our crew was a very hardworking crew. We were just ready to go at any moment. As a matter of fact, the pastor even told us a couple of times, he said, look, we're in the rainy season, so every day after lunch, it's going to rain real hard. And when it starts raining, you guys can go into the house. And so we thought, this is not good, because we're going to be done at 3 o'clock every day when it starts raining. And so one of the things I noticed about the crew from this church is one day it did rain and it filled in all the holes that we had dug, everything that we had worked on. And the pastor was like, well, I guess it's just time for y'all to go. And I looked around and our guys started taking buckets. They started grabbing Gatorade bottles and cutting the Gatorade bottles. And we started dipping those bottles into the water and dumping it into the buckets and throwing it out in the street. And by hand, we drained the entire footer that we had dug in order to start work, even in the rain. And that's the kind of guys that we worked with down there. It was amazing to see what everybody did. But that first day was kind of rough. We got out there, and the pastor told us, hey, you got to dig this footer and dig this column. And so we had a team digging that side, and he brought another team to the front of the building and said, you got to dig this one and dig down a column. And the column was supposed to be, the hole was supposed to be a 3 by 3 foot hole that was like 44 inches deep, something like that, 45 inches deep. And so we got out there and we start digging this hole, and we're using shovels and pickaxes and all this stuff. And we dig this thing down. And as a matter of fact, we get it dug all the way down and it's perfect. And we even had Eric, who is a CPA, and Riley, who's an engineer. They got out there and they start scraping the sides of this thing. And I mean, it was perfect. The walls were straight and slick. I mean, they had this perfect hole dug out, and it was amazing, and we were so pumped about it. And so we get the hole dug, and all of a sudden, this guy comes walking up to the pastor, and we had never seen the guy before. He hadn't been there the whole day. He just walks up to the pastor, starts talking to the pastor, starts pointing at the hole. They get on the phone. They start calling somebody. We don't know who they're calling. And then all of a sudden, the pastor says, hey, you need to fill that hole in and move it over 6 inches. We were so mad, and we were like, okay, we'll do it. And so we start digging another hole. And when I say dig a hole, like, we had broken one of their tools. We broke a lot of their tools, and we had to buy them new ones. But we had broken one of their tools, and the only thing I can describe it as is a giant hoe, like a big, just single blade that you scrape with. And we had broken one of them. And so I had noticed Lee was in the back, and he had the broken hoe. And when he was digging his hole out, he was doing it with that by hand. And so I discovered, hey, that's what we got to do up front. So I'm up front. I'm laying on my belly, and we're scooping this hole out by hand, and we get the hole dug out. Eric and Riley come back, you know, the engineer and the CPA, they get the square perfect, and it's all the way down, and we get the hole just the way it's supposed to be. And about that time, they decide to deliver more supplies, and they bring this dump truck in, and they drive in. Guess where they drive in? Right over our hole. And they get stuck in that beautiful hole that we had just dug out. The second hole we had dug out, they get stuck on it. And so they said, oh, we got to get it out of the hole. So they start grabbing broken pieces of block and throwing them in the hole, and dirt, and throwing it in the hole. And they filled our hole back up again. And so finally, we get the truck out. Cam talked about that just for a second. I'll mention it again later. We get the truck out of the way. And guess what we had to do? Redig that same doggone hole. A little while later, they had told us, one of the guys had told us, hey, you got to dig down the ground all the way to 5 inches below the foundation line. And so So Cam and Jeff, they're back in the back and they're digging. I mean, everybody's back there digging, and we're getting it all dug down 5 inches below the foundation line, and we're moving dirt out and we're piling it all up and we're digging it down. And then some guy walks up, another guy we had never seen before. He didn't stay and help. He didn't do anything. He just walked up, talked to the pastor, pointed, got on the cell phone, called somebody, we don't know who, and they came back and said, all that dirt you just moved, put it all back. We don't need it 5 inches below. Now we need it up to the foundation line. So not only have we dug the same hole multiple times, now we're digging out the ground, putting all the dirt back in, and then we take all the dirt and move it over to another plot of land that was right next to it. And then they said, after we moved all the dirt, another phone call, another guy, and they're like, hey, someone's going to come out here, and they're going to move all that dirt, put it in a dump truck for us, and take it out. If you'll just pay us a little bit of money. I said, I'll pay whatever it takes. I'm tired of moving the same pile of dirt over and over again. And so we paid the guy some money, and he came out. When he got out there, he grabbed a shovel off the back of his truck and threw it to one of us and said, all right, put that dirt in the back of the truck. I wanted to kick somebody. Like, I'm on a mission trip trying to love the Lord and try to love these people, and I'm ready to fight. And so we're out there just shoveling dirt, throwing it in the truck. Dirt we've moved 7 times already, and we just keep moving the same dirt over and over and over again. It was one of those kind of days. It was just very frustrating to be there, to start working and just feel like you're just running around in circles and you're doing the same thing over and over again, and there's no direction, because every time some dude showed up out of the blue and talked to the pastor, everything changed for us. And one of the things I thought about is how many times in life, when we don't have a good direction, when we don't have a good plan, that we get very frustrated. I don't know how your life goes, but there's plenty of times in parenting when I get really frustrated if I don't have a good plan on how to be a good parent. In my marriage, there's plenty of times when I get frustrated when I don't feel like I've got a good plan on how to be a better husband. Sometimes in ministry or at my job, whatever it is that I'm doing, if I don't have some kind of plan or direction, it can be very frustrating. As a matter of fact, sometimes it makes me want to just give up. Like, there's been plenty of times in my life when I don't feel like I've got direction, and I just would rather sit and do nothing than move forward, not knowing what I'm doing and have to retrack and redo my steps. Proverbs 29:18 says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. Another way of looking at that is this idea that whenever we're guided by the Lord, when the Holy Spirit guides and directs our lives, then we can find joy, we can find peace. But whenever we're struggling to find guidance, whenever we're struggling to figure things out, it can be chaotic and anxious and frustrating in our life. So day two rolls around, and when day two rolls around, all of a sudden a new guy shows up. And here we are thinking, oh boy, another guy showing up to tell the pastor what to do, to tell us what to do. And my dad, who's not here today, but if you don't know my dad, we call him Cowboy for a reason. He's just kind of a wild fella. And he's old, and it's not old like he's got a lot of years. He's old like, have you ever heard of someone that's like crotchety? That's kind of how he is. He's that kind of old. Like, I just don't care what anybody thinks anymore. That's how he is. And so he gets out there and he says, boys, girls, let me tell you something. If one more person comes out here and tells us what to do, your answer is no. Every time it's no. We're going to do what we want to do and how we want to do it. I'm sick and tired of them telling us to dig the same holes over and over again. That was my dad's response. And that's how we get sometimes, isn't it? Like, after a while, we start rejecting people's help, and we start rejecting what people tell us, and it was very frustrating. But that second day, the pastor invited an old mentor of his, a guy named Freddie. And Freddie brought his little buddy, his nephew David, and these guys drove 45 minutes every single day, starting on day two. They drove 45 minutes one way just to come help us on this job site. And when Freddie got there, Freddie started to help us out. And one of the things Freddie did that the other guys didn't do is Freddie got out the blueprints. Now, these are not blueprints like what you're used to. I know some of you guys in here may work in construction and you may understand blueprints. These blueprints look like they were made on Microsoft Paint, which I don't even know if they have anymore. Like, these blueprints were pretty pretty suspect. But Freddie got out there and grabbed those blueprints, and he would look at those blueprints, and he would look at the ground, and he would look at the wall, and he'd look at whatever he needed to look at. And then he would come over, and he would grab myself or my dad or Oscar, the three of us that could kind of speak a little Spanish, and he would begin to interpret the blueprints for us and begin to tell us exactly where things needed to go and how to do things based on the blueprints. And so today what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit guiding your life. And I feel like there's a lot of times for us that we don't have any kind of guidance, any kind of direction. And so we kind of run a little bit wild. We run a little bit hot because we need someone to guide us and direct us. And this world is going to tell you that you follow your truth, which is so crazy because your truth changes based on your emotions. And the Bible says we follow the truth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. That's reality. That He has a truth, a standard for living. And we should follow or be guided by the Holy Spirit, not by our personal truth. And up until this point in the story, everybody, the pastor, had been guided by any fella that came over and interpreted the blueprints however he wanted to interpret them. And that's why we kept moving holes and redigging the same dirt. But all of a sudden, Freddie shows up and Freddie says, no, this is going to be the plan. This is going to be the direction. I'm looking at the plans. I'm interpreting the plans. And Freddie was like the Holy Spirit showing up on the scene, helping to guide and direct every step that we took. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides us, I'm going to give you three ways. There's a variety of ways the Holy Spirit guides us. I'm only going to give you three today so we can get out and get to water baptism, which is coming up soon. But one of the ways he guides us by His Word. The Holy Spirit guides us by His Word. Just like Freddie interpreting the blueprints, the Holy Spirit interprets the Word of God for us. He speaks to us. And so the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, is inspired by God. Some versions say is breathed by God. The word breath in the Bible, it also means spirit. In other words, that the very Word of God is breathed out or infused by the Holy Spirit and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. You need to understand something today, that God's Word is that solid foundation that we build our life on. And the Holy Spirit's job is to constantly be reminding us and bringing us back to that foundation of God's Word. And you can build your life on whatever you want to build your life on. You can build your life on Oprah if you want to build your life on Oprah. But I'm going to promise you something. Your life's going to fall apart at some point. We build our life on God's Word. And the Bible doesn't say that we won't have storms, but it says we'll withstand every storm if we build our life on the words of Christ. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says this, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. The word moved by the Holy Spirit there in the Greek, what Peter, whenever he wrote that, what he's talking about, it's like a ship that has sails and the wind blows and fills the sails and moves the ship. So everything that we read in the Bible that was written by man, it wasn't just written by man. It wasn't just written by some guy who had a good thought. It was written by man as though a ship being blown by the wind of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit moved on these men's lives as they wrote the Scriptures. In John 14:26, Jesus says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. I think God wants to speak to you today. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you today. And how does He want to guide you? I know sometimes we're asking, I just wish I could hear God's voice. If God would just tell me what to do, I would do it. Listen, He guides you through His Word. And He is speaking through His Word every time you pick it up and every time you open it. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we giving Him room to speak to us? Are we paying attention to what He's saying? Or are we just checking a box? Like when it comes to my Bible reading, am I just checking a box off just to say, hey, I did my Bible reading for today? Or am I giving the Holy Spirit a place to speak to me through His Word? And you may say, Gabriel, how does that work? I don't understand. Let me give you a really good example. While we were on the trip, one morning I got up to read my Bible. And as I'm reading my Bible, I'm in the book of Amos. And I'm going to just tell you, I'm doing this Bible reading plan that is chronological. So in other words, it goes by the year. It doesn't go. I used to do one that would do a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of Psalms and Proverbs, and a little bit of New Testament. And I love that Bible reading plan. For some reason, I decided to follow my wife's guidance and do a Bible reading plan that takes me from the oldest to the newest. And so I'm stuck in the Old Testament, and that's not bad. There's a lot of great stuff in the Old Testament, but this particular day I was in Amos. And Amos is a minor prophet, and Amos is prophesying about the future of Israel and the future of Jerusalem. And I'm just gonna be honest with you, I wasn't getting a lot out of it. It's like eating a chicken wing. You got to do a lot of work to get full. And that's how I felt about Amos. And as I'm reading through Amos, I get to this one verse, and the Bible says, God speaking to Israel, he says, I'm going to use a plumb line, and I'm going to measure your walls according to the plumb line to see if you're straight. And he's talking about the walls of our heart. And then he says, and I'm going to take you and I'm going to sift you like you would sift sand. He said, but no pebble is going to hit the ground. In other words, I'm going to sift away all the bad stuff and keep all the good stuff in your life. And as I'm reading that, it didn't really, there wasn't anything like special. I didn't have like the sky open up and God didn't speak to me audibly. I just, as I was reading, I thought, that's interesting. I'm going to highlight that and I'm going to make a little note of it in my journal. I thought, that's cool. Plumb lines and sifting sands. It's crazy. And I'm not lying, but we went to work that day Freddie shows up and Freddie says, we're gonna level these walls. We got to set the walls, but we got to have a way to level them. And so we all start getting out an actual level. We had brought like a small level with us. And Freddie goes, no, we don't need that. We'll use a plomo. And a plomo was a plumb line. And I had never seen an actual plumb line before. And this dude pulls out a plumb line. And he sets a plumb line on the wall and he drops his string and it's got a weight on the end of it. And he's measuring to see how straight the wall is by whether or not that plumb line is either touching or moving far away from the wall. And I thought, I just read about this today, had no idea what it was. And now I'm seeing it in real life. A little while later, after he showed us the plumb line, and listen, I'm one of those guys. As soon as he pulled out that plumb line, I knew the Holy Spirit had been speaking to me. I said, Freddie, how much does that thing cost? I want to buy it from you. And he's like, no, I'll give it to you. I was like, no, I'm buying it. He said, I got three of them. I said, well, you get one that you don't want, bring it to me. And so it's sitting in my office right now, and it'll be a sermon illustration one day. Don't worry. And so I bought that plumb line. I was like, I got to have it, right? Because that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And then that same day, Freddie decided it was time to start building the walls. Well, to build the walls, you can't have rocks in your mud, in your concrete. And so you had to take the sand, and he gives us this little box with a screen in the bottom of it, and he starts dumping sand in it, and he says, start shaking it. And we start shaking it. What were we doing? Sifting the sand. And we take all the little pebbles and take them out. And I was like, man, Holy Spirit is speaking to me through the Word of God. All it took was someone just to pay a little bit of attention. That's all it takes. It's just pay a little bit of attention. And just because you're in Amos and it's hard to read, or you're in Lamentations and you're reading about Jeremiah crying all the time, whatever the case is, and you're reading through all the names of all the people in Chronicles, listen, I still believe God wants to speak to you through His Word. But we've got to be willing to listen to what he's got to say. The next thing that happened on the trip is we get out there and we have to lay the blocks. But in order to lay the blocks and pour the foundations, you got to mix concrete. And we didn't have a concrete mixer. There was no big truck driving by dumping concrete for us. What they said was, here's how we're going to mix concrete. You're going to take that sand and put it out here on the ground. You're going to get wheelbarrows full. And that was Aaron's job. And Aaron, I don't know how many wheelbarrows I say wheelbarrow, and I know it's wrong. I know it's barrow, but I say wheelbarrow, and I feel like right now some of you men are judging me, but I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there. That's what I say. So I'm going to keep saying it because it feels better to me to say, okay? So if you're judging me right now, then you get up and talk. So Aaron's, he's carrying wheelbarrows through, and we're dumping sand. And then they said, all right, now we got to have gravel. And we dump gravel. And they said, now go get the concrete mix. And we're getting the concrete mix. And then they said, get the water. And we get water. And they hand us shovels. And they hand us one of those big hose. And they said, all right, start mixing the concrete. And we're literally on the edge of the street, like in the street, but kind of on the edge. And we are mixing concrete by hand out there. And then once we mix the concrete, then we'd have to shovel it up and put it in buckets and pour it down the holes and do all this stuff. And then we started having to lay the bricks. And we're having to put the bricks up there. And it was so funny to watch Freddie as he taught us how to do it. He would start us off and he would be the one to get out there and do it. And we laughed because he had this little dance that he did as he went around the pile of stuff to pour water in. And he had this particular way of doing it. It was so many bags of concrete versus so many wheelbarrows versus sand. And it was all these components that were involved. And then he would take us to the wall and he would start showing us and my dad and Jeff, they were the two older guys in the group. They were starting on a wall. And then Jeff's son, Cam, and myself, we were on the other side and we were starting and we were in a race trying to see who would finish. And of course, the old guys beat us because their wall was a lot shorter than ours. And so we're racing and we're doing that. But the whole time, Freddie was right there beside us and he's helping us and he got us started. He showed us how to get it going. He showed us how to use the tools. And then he put the tools in our hand and cut us loose to do it. But the whole time, he was always watching us. And in the beginning, whenever we would start going and we would kind of mess up a little bit, Freddie would say, "Oh, no, you got to do like this." And he would come over and he would fix it for us. Or we're out there mixing the mud. And listen, one of the times that mud got away from us. I mean, we put too much water in and it was already raining on top of that. We literally had concrete just pouring down the street, like out in the street. And we're trying to scoop it back into the pile. One of us almost got hit by a vehicle. I mean, it was the craziest thing. And Freddie would just laugh at us. He wouldn't yell at us. He wouldn't kick us off the job site. He would just laugh and just come over and start helping us. And he'd say, "Get some more concrete. Do a little bit more of this." And after a while, after we messed up a lot and kind of figured out some stuff, it would get to the point where we would just look up and Freddie would just kind of look at us and he would have this little smile. And if he smiled at us, that meant we're probably doing something wrong. And so then we were trying to figure it out without asking him, right? And then sometimes he'd look at us and he wouldn't smile. He'd just kind of nod. And that meant you're doing it right, keep going. And so in the beginning, Freddie would come take the tool and help us. But by the end of the trip, he would just kind of smile or nod. And he directed us that way. One of the ways the Holy Spirit directs us and guides us is through his word. But the second way is through conviction. Through conviction. And the Bible says in John 16:8, it says, "When he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment." And you may say, "Well, what is conviction? What does that mean? What does it mean to be convicted in real life?" Well, there's two verses I want to read. One is Galatians 5 and one's in Acts 2. And they both show us how the Holy Spirit convicts us. So in Galatians 5, this one's a little bit longer. It's 16 to 17. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So our sin has a craving to it, right? Our nature, our natural man craves a certain amount of sin. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. But look at what the Holy Spirit does. Look at what conviction is. "And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions." What Paul says here is he says the Holy Spirit will give you desires to do what is right. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but there's been times in my life where I just had a desire to do what is right. Something Oscar talked about up here is he said whenever he saw the guys getting up in the morning and reading their Bibles, that he said there was a desire in his heart to do what he saw the other guys on the team doing, and that was having that personal time with the Lord. What was that desire that was in his heart? That was a conviction of the Holy Spirit convicting him, not of sin. The Holy Spirit wasn't saying, "Oscar, you're such a slug and you sleep too much." No. The Holy Spirit was giving him a good desire, a conviction towards righteousness. "Here's the things I want you to do." And then there's another side to conviction. In Acts 2:37, Peter is preaching a message. And as he's telling these people about Jesus, here's what the Bible says. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" The word pierce there literally means to sting or to stab. And sometimes you have that in your life. There may be times in your life where you're watching TV or you're having a conversation with somebody or you're someone wants you to go somewhere and do something. And there's that little sting in your heart, that little catch in your gut. And you're saying, I don't know if this is right. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit telling you that what you're doing is wrong or what you're about to do is wrong. And the problem is sometimes I think we learn to ignore the convictions. And the more we ignore the convictions of the Holy Spirit, the easier it becomes to ignore the convictions of the Holy Spirit. So a question for you today is this. Are we ignoring the desires and the stings of the Holy Spirit, or are we leaning into them? And here's a better question. What's going to happen if you continue to ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit? What's going to happen? What's going to happen in your marriage when you continue to ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit? What's going to happen in your ministry when you continue to ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit? What's going to happen to your kids and the way you raise them? Think about it. I can't answer that question, but we need to be pondering what that means for us. I do have a little illustration. So this past week, was it this past week? Week before, I don't know. A couple weeks ago, I told you my Jeep was messed up, and Wes over here came and helped me get some stuff fixed on the Jeep, and we're working on it, and then I had to go to Guatemala. While I'm in Guatemala, my brother-in-law calls, and he says, hey, man. He said, I love working on stuff. He said, can I come over and work on your Jeep? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess so. Like, I didn't feel real comfortable someone working on my, I felt bad, really, is what it was. And I was like, yeah, go ahead, work on it. So he gets in there, and he's working on the Jeep. He says, I think I've got it all together. I think everything's working fine. And I was like, okay, great. And so I'm driving the Jeep, and I can hear a little something going tick, 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 tick. And I thought, that doesn't sound normal, but this is a Jeep, and this whole thing shakes. It's almost 30 years old. Like, it rattles and rolls all the time, and I just kind of ignored it. And so a couple days roll by, and I'm hearing tick, 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 tick. And so one day I leave the church, and I'm headed to the house, and I realize I left my phone in my office. And so I'm down here at Publix, and I go to pull into Publix to turn around and go back to get my phone. And when I pull into Publix, I hear, pow! And all of a sudden, the steering wheel stops working, and I stopped the Jeep. Thankfully, I got up in Publix parking lot, and I just hear this gush of fluid. And I look under my Jeep, and all the coolant is completely drained out of the Jeep, and it's pouring all down the parking lot. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And I open up the hood, and when I look inside, my fan, which you have a fan in your vehicle, my fan, the bolts that hold the fan on were gone. There was one sitting up on top of the engine block, and my fan had gotten wobbly and sliced a hole in my radiator. Just cut a big old chunk out of it. And I told my brother-in-law, I said, well, I had to put my car in the shop. He said, was it my fault? And I said, I didn't want to tell you that. But you asked. And I was in Guatemala. I ignored the ticking, which is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And eventually, it came back to bite me. The last little part of the story here. While we're in Guatemala, myself, my dad, and Oscar, we were the three on the construction side that did the interpreting. Melissa speaks Spanish. She's from Colombia. She spoke on the medical side. And so on our side, it was the three of us. And it was really mostly Oscar doing a lot of the interpreting for Freddie. So Freddie didn't speak any English. So Freddie has to speak through one of us to be able to get a message across to the rest of the group. And a lot of times, my Spanish is poor anyway, but my dad hasn't spoken construction Spanish. You know, there's a difference, right? He hadn't spoken construction Spanish in a while. And then Oscar's from Puerto Rico, where they kind of speak Spanish. And so we were trying to communicate with Freddie, who's Guatemalan, and every little country down there has a variety of words that are different. We had a whole conversation one day on what coche meant. In Guatemala, coche is a pig, but in Puerto Rico, coche is a car, right? So it's like two weird opposite words, but for some reason, the same Spanish word. And so we were having this conversation, and one of the things we noticed is there was plenty of times when Freddie would talk to Oscar, and Oscar would talk to us, and then we would kind of look at him sideways, and he'd go back and talk to Oscar, and then we would talk about it again, and we had to sometimes work together to get the right interpretation. And so we had this way of communication with Freddie that we would communicate through other people. And the last way that the Holy Spirit wants to guide us, is he guides us through his word and he guides us through conviction, but then he also guides us through other people. Isaiah 11:2, just look at some of these words that it says about the Holy Spirit. It says he's the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge. That there's all kinds of information that the Holy Spirit wants to give us, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, but he does it also through counsel, the ability to speak through other people to us. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but one who prophesies, which is another way of the Holy Spirit speaking through someone, says one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. We've got a little bit of a dilemma in the church today, and it's where everybody's a prophet and everybody prophesied, and I prophesied this would happen in politics, and I prophesied that would happen, and you know what, 98% of the time they miss it, and 2% of the time they get it. I don't know if they're getting lucky or if they're God's actually speaking through them. But the Bible says here that prophecy isn't just to like tell in the future. It says prophecy is something that we strengthen other people with, encourage them, and comfort them. There may be times when you've been praying with someone and talking to someone and you feel like, I need to tell this person this thing. And it strengthens them, it comforts them, and encourages them. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. There may be times when someone's been praying for you or they just call you and they say, hey, I don't know why, but I just felt like I was supposed to call you and tell you this. Maybe you've had that happen to you before. That's the Holy Spirit using a person to guide your life. We told the story earlier about the truck getting stuck in the hole. And the truth is, Cam acted like it was a whole big group effort, but the fact of the matter was, we're back there pushing and picking up and trying everything we can to get that stupid truck to move. And Cam's the one that leaned over to me and said, Pastor, I think you need to pray about this one. That's all he said, and I knew he wasn't joking, and I thought, okay. So we stopped everything that we were doing, and I said, let's lay hands on this truck. We're going to pray for this truck. And we did. We laid hands on that truck. We prayed for that truck. And then 3, 2, 1, go. That thing just took off. Went right out of there. And now you may say, well, Gabriel, that's a coincidence. Obviously, you know, God doesn't care about a truck. He may not care about a truck, but he cared about us, and we needed that truck out of our way. And you can think it's a coincidence if you want to, but I think it was God. But it started because one guy listened to the Holy Spirit and told another guy to do it. We need each other. And you need to understand something. We can make mistakes. There's times when I would interpret something. I would interpret it wrong. Or Oscar would interpret something wrong. Or my dad would interpret something wrong. Like sometimes things get lost. And there's been plenty of times in life whenever people are trying to hear from God and they're trying to pray. And sometimes they just get something wrong. And so what you do is you go back to the blueprint. You go back to the blueprint. Or you go to someone else that's also hearing from the Holy Spirit. And you say, hey, this is what I was told. Or this is what was prayed over me. What do you think about that? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with what other people that are important in my life that are listening to God are saying? The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, without wise leadership, a nation falls. And there's safety in having many advisors. I want to just end today with the reminder of what my dad said. He said, if anybody comes out here and tells you what to do, just say no. And I think sometimes that's where we live with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us through his word, and he's trying to speak to us through conviction, and he's trying to speak to us through other people. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to you today through this message. I hope he is. That's what I prayed for. And what we do is we continue to say no to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes he doesn't tell us what we want to hear. Sometimes he doesn't lead us where we want to go. Did you know that the Bible says that when Jesus was baptized in Luke chapter 4, that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him and led him into the wilderness to be tempted? That's not a great place to go, but it's where he needed to be. Did you know the Bible says that Paul was trying to go to Asia on a missionary trip, and every time he tried to go to Asia, that the Holy Spirit would stop him? So he tried to go another route, and the Holy Spirit stopped him until he finally redirected him up into Turkey. sometimes the Holy Spirit is telling us stuff. He's saying stop, and we're blowing right through the red light. Sometimes he's saying go, and we just ignore him. Today we've got to learn to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. How do we do that? Well, the pastor had to invite his mentor, Freddie. And today, we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. You know, being a Christian isn't about being good. I think sometimes we think that being a Christian is about being righteous and holy and not sinning and doing everything right. Nah, that's not what it's about. Being a Christian is about submitting yourself to God, submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit, and letting Him guide you away from sin and into righteousness, and give you that look like, yeah, you're doing it right. Or, no. It's about being submitted to the Holy Spirit. That's what we've got to do. So today, I want you to stand up with me. If you're getting baptized today, I'm going to let you, baptism people, go ahead and slip out right now. You can go back to the bathrooms and start changing clothes. We'll meet you outside in just a minute. For those of you still in here, here's what I want us to do. We're going to pray. And I've got some friends that are going to come down to the front, and they want to pray with you this morning. They want to be a part of your life. They want to be like these people that we talked about today. They want to be like me and Oscar and Dad, interpreting what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Maybe they just want to pray over you and encourage you and love on you. But if you're part of our prayer team, why don't you slip out of your seats and come down to the front? There may be some of you today that you need to submit to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Maybe it's about your job. Maybe it's about something going on in your future. Maybe it's about your family or your spouse or your kids. Whatever the case is, I don't know what the Holy Spirit, what He's trying to do. Maybe there's something personal in your life that the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention on. And it's like my Jeep, and you hear the tick, 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 and you keep ignoring it. But I'm telling you, don't keep ignoring what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Maybe you're not serving Jesus today. Maybe you're not a Christian at all. You're not born again. But today's the day that you need to give everything you've got to Him. Today's the day that you lay everything down and you submit all that you have to Him. If that's you, He's calling you. He's drawing you. That's that desire that you feel in your heart. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, we want to give you an opportunity today to respond to the Holy Spirit. And so we want to pray with you down in the front. So I'm going to pray over you. Pastor John's going to sing one more song. As he sings, I want you to slip out of your seat and come down to the front if you need prayer. Let me pray over you first. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts right now. I pray for those watching online. And Holy Spirit, if you're speaking to their hearts today, I just pray that you would minister to them. And God, I pray that you would draw us to a place of submission. Draw us to a place, God, where we allow you, we invite you into our lives to lead us and to guide us every step of the way. We love you so much, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.